Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
I really got stumped on squirrel versus pigeon. Why would you ask that question? I do know that squirrels and rabbits and deer are taking over the world. I mean, they're about to become the rulers of this here world, especially in the Northeast. And maybe it's this way elsewhere too. I know in my mom's neighborhood, it's a gated community and the deer are protected. When I run in mom's neighborhood in Houston, they don't even look up. I can hear them crunching when I run by. That's how afraid they are of me. And so you have to be really careful when you're driving in that community, especially in the evening or after dark, because the deer are all over the place. But yeah, deer and squirrels and rabbits, I get them a lot in my neighborhood. The deer can't get into my backyard because I have the 6-foot high fence. But squirrels, definitely rabbits. They hang out back there.
Weren't you attacked by a turkey recently in your neighborhood?
That wasn't my neighborhood, but yes. Every time I run, actually, I ran that same route on last Friday evening because I'm getting ready for this half marathon, so I was doing a 2-hour run, and I ran that same route and was on the lookout for a stray tom turkey because that was where I got attacked and chased the last time.
In his territory.
Yeah. Thankfully. Well, he's probably grown up and found a mate by now, but
he's evolved.
Thankfully, he was nowhere to be found. I just kept going. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What a weird question, Jay. Squirrels or pigeons? Neither. I didn't kill squirrels. That was a misspeak. I had to get dead squirrels who were killed by poison out of my shed in May. It was awful. Every time I share that with a female friend of mine, the look of horror on their faces, yeah, it was hideous. I'll never do that again. Bob and I are investing in a good shed that's winterproof.
Would you rather them in squirrels or pigeons?
Pigeons poop a lot, though.
They do.
Everywhere.
Yeah, they don't really care where.
No. Why do I have to pick one?
Those are the choices.
You can't help it. Those are just the choices. If you didn't hear your question answered last hour as part of Ask Amy Anything, I do go back during the day on Wednesday and I answer as many questions as I possibly can do quickly. So check it out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. And as I say, I'll answer as many as I can, but not the wedding questions. Producer Jay and I are recording a video version of Ask Amy Anything, wedding style. Wedding soup, by the way, is a real thing if you're an Italian. Jay, you're an Italian family. Do you guys have wedding soup ever?
No.
No? Your mom doesn't make wedding soup?
No.
Oh, my gosh. My grandmother used to make wedding soup all the time as a treat on holidays. Then my mom started making it. My brother now makes his own. I'm not the one who's carrying on the tradition. That's my brother. But we always have wedding soup at big holidays. I wonder if someone's going to ask for wedding soup at the wedding.
It would be fitting, right?
I guess, but I've never actually been to a wedding where there's been wedding soup. So no, maybe not.
Doesn't seem like the best wedding food.
Well, how do you know? Do you eat it?
Well, just, I don't know.
Oh, like it's so good. It's got meatballs.
Oh,
it's got meatballs in it. As opposed to pasta?
Yeah, that gives you the carbs. That gives you the energy. Then you store and then you go dance.
Okay. What about the cake? Then go dance?
Well, that's after.
So once you have cake, you can't dance?
No, after the cake, it's lights out.
Okay, good thing you're not coming to the wedding. Oh my gosh. What a rule. After you have cake, then you're just done, you leave?
Oh, yeah. See ya. Thanks for the invite. Have a great night. Congratulations.
Wow. I hope there's not more people like you coming to the wedding. My goodness. Anyway, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, and then our Facebook page, too. Wow, try not to be flummoxed by this. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up before the end of the hour, your choice for TD of the week. But beyond the defensive dominance for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the big story is still what happened with one of the NFL's best running backs. So Nick Chubb ends up, as we saw, getting hit directly in his knee, in his leg, by Minka Fitzpatrick. Not a dirty play. It's how you have to hit backs now, and really how you have to hit rushers or quarterbacks or receivers now in order to avoid going helmet to helmet. I mean, we knew this would be part of the fallout, is that there would be lower hits so that defenders are avoiding head and neck area. Regardless, I don't think it was a dirty hit. I know a lot of people are calling on Minka to be fined or suspended, should have been penalized. People are even saying that he was faking his injury because he wanted to be sure that he didn't get flagged or penalized for the hit on Nick Chubb. I think it's part of the rivalry that you've got emotions running high. I'm sure Minka felt terrible once he found out what happened with Nick. And yeah, we got the confirmation on Tuesday. It was Tuesday, right? We got the confirmation on Tuesday that Nick, in fact, is out for the season.
Like we talked about last night, Nick has a knee injury that will require surgery that will end his season. Like we, you know, talked about it last night. Very disappointed for Nick. Means a lot to this team, means a lot to this organization. So he will be missed, but he will bounce back. Of that, I have no doubt.
I agree. I believe that he can bounce back. But I still hate it for him so much. The fact that he was in that kind of pain, the fact that he already knows what's in store for him, and maybe that's an advantage, that he knows what this road and this recovery entail, but I still hate it for him a lot. As we talked about with Aaron Rodgers last week, no one's going to feel sorry for the Browns. Now, there are people who feel sorry for Nick Chubb, of course, all over the league, but no one is going to feel sorry for the Cleveland Browns, especially not in the AFC North, where you have to fight and scratch and claw for every win, and fight, scratch, claw for playoff position. I mean, we've talked about this being one of the toughest divisions in football, and also the conference is loaded. And so they've got to face forward and support Nick, but at this point, it's on to week number three.
Disappointed. I can't say it enough. I know our team feels that way. I know our fans feel that way. But I know, Nick, when you guys get to talk to him, we'll say the same thing. We got to move on. And we got a big one this week. We'll miss Nick, okay? And we will support Nick. But we're moving on to Tennessee.
It sucks, doesn't it? It's the business side of football. And I know we drop the cliche. I drop the cliche, next man up. But it's hard because these guys then, like Aaron, like Nick, their best friendship ends up being the PT staff, the athletic trainers. They miss a full year of not just playing in the prime of their careers. Well, I don't know. Would you say Aaron's still in the prime of his career? Whatever. He was very excited about New York. Nick is a different story, and running backs who miss an entire year, it's costly. He's definitely in the prime of his career. And so I hate it for him, but yeah, the Browns have to move forward. Will they add another running back? Kevin Stefanski says that's kind of up to the front office. At this point, Jerome Ford is moving into that spot. Now, it's a no-brainer that they should re-sign Kareem Hunt. I don't even think they should blink. Oh, I didn't mean to rhyme. To me, this is one of those moves where you don't overthink it. You just do it. He knows the locker room. He knows the coaching staff. He knows the system for the most part. he's a free agent, so you don't have to give up any draft picks to get him. Just go get him. Remember in the 2020 playoffs, he had 3 touchdowns. He's a viable option. Now, he obviously doesn't and hasn't been getting as many carries the last few years with Cleveland because there is Nick Chubb and because Nick Chubb's been healthy most of the time. But I can't remember what year it was, maybe 21. He started a handful of games because Nick was hurt. I think it was 21. His first year with Cleveland, he had a half dozen touchdowns, close to, it wasn't quite 1,000 yards, but he was closing in on it. There's no learning curve there. To me, this seems like a move that they should have made yesterday. Maybe they did, actually. Kareem Hunt was in Cleveland for a visit. A visit, quote unquote, with the Browns. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The offense for both the Steelers and the Browns, still scuffling, and they're not alone. The Bengals have exactly 1 offensive touchdown in 2 games. The Chiefs, the Super Bowl champions, had 3 turnovers before they had a touchdown against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, it's tougher sledding for some of the offenses out there. But the question was asked of Mike Tomlin, how do they fix their offensive struggles? And for them, the big question is, where's the run game? What's going on with the offensive line and Najee Harris?
We have to get our mojo back. We got to get that mojo that we had in the preseason where we're playing fast and fluid with confidence individually and collectively. We've lost that, to be blunt, in the last several weeks. We're not getting the type of fluidity that we want in our starts. We're not teeing up possession down play, not being in advantageous possession down circumstances, and really is making it challenging to sustain drives and to score points.
In 2 games, Najee Harris has a grand total of, are you ready for this, Jay? 74 yards in 2 games. Now, granted, they played the Niners in week 1. Nobody had any yards in week 1. He has 16 carries, though. That, to me, is maybe even a greater tell. 16 carries, no touchdowns, 74 total yards for Najee. It's not like they were trailing most of the game on Monday night. They wanted to run the ball. It doesn't seem like it right now. We asked the question of Missy Matthews, who's the Steelers Radio Network sideline reporter. She joined us after Monday Night Football. If you missed it, it's part of our podcast. You can catch it on both Twitter and Facebook. And all of our guests have their own separate podcast. The offensive line is going through some alterations, some growing pains. But what happened to Najee? He's out there without a competent, or at least a whisper of a running game. It's hard to succeed in the NFL. If you got nothing in terms of a running game, then defenses don't have to respect it. And so instead, they can make life that much harder, not just with a pass rush for the quarterback, but also for the receivers. You may remember that during the preseason, and I try to tell you, preseason means a whole lot of nada. In fact, if you win every game in the preseason, I'm pretty sure you're going to have a losing regular season. Now, I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I don't think it's a great indicator if you're successful in the preseason. And in the preseason, the Steelers, they didn't obviously play Kenny Pickett the whole time in the 3 games. But in every game, they were winners, and they scored at least 24 points in every game. And so a lot of people were coming into the season thinking, oh yeah, Steelers offense has clicked. And Mike Tomlin talked about how they were flying up and down the field, they were playing fast, they were aggressive, they were confident, they were bold. That is not the same offense we're seeing right now. Again, Niners in week 1, Browns in week 2, a pair of fantastic defenses. A lot of star power on both of those defenses. but it doesn't get easier. Well, okay, maybe it does against the Raiders and Texans. Those are the next two games. But the Steelers are on the road in Vegas and in Houston. But then they're back to take on the Ravens. They still have Jaguars and Titans. Obviously, more of the AFC North on their schedule. They do have to take care of their business at home, though. If you want to make some noise in the AFC North or just the AFC in general, you got to protect the home field. So they're 1-1, and they've already heard the chants from fans, because both those games have been at home. They've already heard the chants about fire Matt Canada, which is the offensive coordinator.
I appreciate their passion. I share their passion. We all do. Man, we love our fans, man. They inspire us. They challenge us. It's an awesome relationship. Man, we don't run from challenges. We run to challenges. This is the sport entertainment business. It is our job to win and thus entertain them. And so, you know, we don't begrudge them for that.
So diplomatic.
We want them to be fat and sassy and spoiled. It is our job.
Is he talking about me? We want them to be fat and sassy and spoiled.
We want them to be fat and sassy and spoiled.
It's another Mike Tomlinism. How diplomatic was that answer? He did not even respond to the fire Matt Canada part. And he's not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Nah. He goes on this complimentary rave about the fans. I mean, that's incredible.
It pleases everybody in that answer.
Not just that, but whoever asked the question, whoever was listening, completely forgot about the fire Matt Canada part. We want them to, especially when he finishes it with that, we want them to be fat and sassy and spoiled. What does fat have to do with it?
Just happy, I guess.
Fat and happy. I actually was telling Bob that when we get old, I will not be running half marathons because I intend to be fat and happy and soft.
It is our job.
And chubby. When I'm old. Oh, my gosh. It is our job to be fat. No, to make them fat and sassy and spoiled.
We want them to be fat and sassy and spoiled.
Can we please bring that back? Every single time we talk about Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. Wait, is that better than he didn't urinate down his leg? Or shoot the hostages, if you will?
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
Shoot the hostages, if you will. Don't blink. Don't blink, don't think.
To shoot a hostage, if you will.
The cut and paste component is the cut and paste component.
The cut and paste component was the cut and paste component.
I love me some Pat Pete.
I just love Pat Pete.
What's wrong with me? Seriously, what's wrong with us? I include you in this. Fat and sassy and spoiled.
We want them to be fat and sassy and spoiled.
He is the best.
That's up there immediately.
He is the best. Also, he's indicating they're not going to have any knee-jerk reactions. So at this point, they're not making any major personnel changes.
We got to keep a lid on it.
I could do an entire hour of nothing but Mike Tomlin. Would people get mad, do you think?
It's the prudent approach to take.
We're just appreciative, man. It's advantageous to be appreciative. I wish I could do a Mike Tomlin voice, but I don't do voices. I'm not good at that.
Does anyone do a Mike Tomlin impression? I've never tried to look him up.
I'm sure.
I might now.
Not Frank Caliendo? Do you think he does a Mike Tomlin impression? Doesn't he do every other impression on the planet? Is he still around?
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I have not. We need to Google him and see what he's up to these days. Shoot, what if he passed away? Uh-oh. Oh, no. This is why you should never talk about someone whose name you haven't heard in a long time. It's like when, this is different. It's a loose analogy. It's when you haven't seen a friend for a long time and they were engaged or they had a long-term relationship and you ask them, how's it going? Every single time I do that, they've just broken up. I swear to you, every single time. Never ask personal questions of people you haven't seen in a long
time. Just something in the universe.
Oh, are you Googling Frank Caliendo?
I am.
You are? All right, tell me what you come up with.
I can't find anything.
You can't? Okay. So he's just quiet? Maybe he got married.
Oh, let's see. Here we go. No, he is very much alive.
Well, okay. That's good to know. But what's he up to?
He is married. He's been married since 03, actually.
Oh, okay. So maybe he's just having a good time with his wife.
Let's see. Latest anything? His last, like, credited thing on the main page is 2007. So.
Oh, I feel like we've heard from him since then.
Maybe he just wasn't great. I don't know.
We've got some funny stuff for you before the end of the hour. Roquan Smith, he likes beating the Bengals. And also, Mike Francesa, Mike and the Mad Dog fame, used to be, most recently, was on our New York affiliate WFAN. Seriously, it'll make you laugh out loud. Like, but also might make you up, Chuck. Or throw something at the radio. One of those things. Good morning to you. It's your hump day. It's our hump show. We're glad to have you with us after hours with Amy Lauren.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
It's on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Watson under center. Steelers showing blitz. Long count. Play action fake. He's back.
There's and the ball is out, and the Steelers pick it up. And that's T.J. Watt running for the end zone. Steelers with the touchdown. The strip by Highsmith. And his bookend buddy Watt scooped and scored, and the Steelers take the lead. Their second defensive touchdown of this game.
Splash. I mean, I think that's what we talk about, is creating splash as a defense. I mean, Alex Highsmith played his absolute tail off tonight. Guys inside got incredible pressure. Larry O had a great game. I just think we really fed off the crowd, and I still think we can do a better job of executing in those moments when the crowd is going absolutely bananas like they were tonight. But it wasn't pretty, but a win is a win.
Oh, it was pretty if you're a fan of the defense. Not only did T.J. Watt become the Steelers' all-time sack leader with 81.5 in 89 games, but he had another 4 quarterback hits and his first ever touchdown, which you all chose overwhelmingly as the After Hours TD of the week. The call with Bill Hillgrove came from the fourth quarter where the Steelers were able to put this game away. Actually, they didn't put it away. They took the lead over the Browns in that moment. As for the defense in totality, as Mike Tomlin would say, I'm pretty sure I've heard him say that before, 6 sacks, 11 hits of Deshaun Watson, 4 takeaways, including 3 forced fumbles, and a couple of touchdowns. That is as dominant as the Niners were against the Steelers the week before. It's early. Every team's got some inconsistencies in there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In the meantime, the Niners are one of the teams that are still undefeated. And the story of Brock Purdy just keeps getting better. Has not yet lost in the regular season as a starter. Now, I do not love wins as a QB stat. I think it's ridiculous. You don't win all by yourself as a quarterback, regardless of how good you are. Not even Patrick Mahomes would say that he's winning games by himself. But it is a really neat story that continues to add chapters that the Niners haven't lost in the regular season with Brock as their starter. And remember, he was Mr. Irrelevant. He was a flyer for the Niners at the end of the draft in 22 because they had Trey Lance and they had Jimmy Garoppolo. And even though they knew Jimmy G was on the way out, or they thought so, they had Trey Lance. They didn't need Brock Purdy. But they went ahead and they grabbed him, and yeah, he knew that when his number was called, he had to be ready.
Being the backup, knowing that I probably only get, you know, one opportunity at this thing if I do get an opportunity, just with the circumstances of being drafted last and all that kind of thing. So for me, it was always like, you know, be ready for it. And, you know, I studied and prepared every single week as if I was starting. And when I ended up going in, I was ready for that opportunity. So nothing has changed since.
I know last year they got to the NFC Championship. He got hurt. Then they had Josh Johnson, their 7th quarterback of the year, whatever. And Brock eventually had to go back in because Josh got hurt. Could you imagine if they had made it to the Super Bowl with Brock as their starter? Mr. Irrelevant. There may be no greater story outside of, say, remember when, Jake Delhomme, undrafted, was the starter for the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl? I mean, there have been other quarterbacks who've gone to the Super Bowl and not been drafted, but to be the last pick and to end up guiding your team, steering your team to the championship game is a phenomenal story. They absolutely have an opportunity this year. They do. The Niners are one of the best teams going. And if possible, the expectations are even higher than they were a year ago because now Brock's got some experience under his belt.
I hold myself to a standard. This whole offense, this team holds ourselves to a certain standard, and so for me it's like, man, I gotta watch that, the film, learn from it, get out at practice and rep it to, you know, build that confidence again that hey, we can hit those shots and those opportunities. We've done it in the past.
I'm such a big fan. I can't wait to see the next chapter of this story. I like what I hear from him. Clearly the Niners liked what they saw and heard from him enough to spend a draft pick on him. I know it was the last one, but still. And they're going to have to pay him. That's the other part of this. If he ends up as their starting quarterback all the way through this year, guess who they're going to have to pay in the offseason? He's not a first-round pick, as we've pointed out, which means there's no fifth-year option. So he still would be under contract for 2 more years. But if he is the starter, they've not gone through 1 year with the same starter since because Jimmy G had missed at least a couple of games in almost every season, if not the 1 year where he was right after he signed, he was gone the rest of the year. I don't think in the Kyle Shanahan era as the head coach of the Niners, they've gone even 1 season with the same starter. I can look it up real quick, but if Brock Purdy let's just say they go through the season with two quarterbacks, except that I don't want Brock to get hurt. But if they manage to go through the entire season with one quarterback and Brock is their guy, then they're going to have to pay him, because that would be an aberration for the Niners. I'm looking it up. I do this because it just blows my mind when I look at the number of quarterbacks. All right, 19, Jimmy Garoppolo started every game. But if you go back to, it was the 16 season, right, when he took over, because he took over as the coach after they lost, the Falcons lost in the Super Bowl. Okay, so Colin Kaepernick, Babbert.
Great.
I mean, that might be a better name for him. Glenn Babbert. It's the backup quarterback, Glenn Babbert. Oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. It's the hump show. Yeah, that was the last year with Colin. So Kaepernick and Gabbert. The next year was Garoppolo, but he got hurt. Hoyer. Oh no, Garoppolo came in late. Remember, that was the year Garoppolo got traded from the Patriots to the Niners. So he started for them later in the year. It was Brian Hoyer, CJ Beathard, Jimmy Garoppolo. The following year, Garoppolo tore his ACL in game three. Remember, he was trying to get an extra half yard running out of bounds and tore his ACL after they'd paid him. So Garoppolo, Mullins, CJ Beathard. Now, he came back in 19 and started every game. That's the one season under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch where it's been one quarterback the entire year. That's it. Just one guy. Didn't they go to the Super Bowl that year? That was 19, right, where they lost to the Chiefs?
Right. I believe.
I believe. 2020, Nick Mullins, Jimmy Garoppolo, CJ Beathard. 21, Garoppolo, Trey Lance. 22, Garoppolo, Lance, Purdy, Johnson, who didn't start, but he did play. And now Purdy. Again, all that to say, if Purdy gets through this entire season as their starter, A, they're a contender for a Super Bowl title. B, you're going to have to pay him. Because right now, he's dirt freaking cheap.
Do you want to hear his cap hit right now?
Oh, season? Yeah, go ahead. Let me guess. $200,000.
No, more than that.
Oh, okay. $600,000.
$889,000.
I was so close. Not even $900,000.
What did Mahomes just restructure for? 50-something million?
Guaranteed over the next 4 years, better than $210 million. Wouldn't it be hysterical if those two quarterbacks were the ones that ended up in the Super Bowl?
They sure as hell might be.
Well, but even forget, it doesn't have to be the Chiefs again. It could be any of the quarterbacks who just got the massive deals.
Yeah.
Herbert,
Burrow,
Lamar, Joe, who am I missing? Oh, Jalen. So those were the four that got paid this offseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jalen's in the NFC, but it could be any of the other three. Well, and now Mahomes. He was already making a lot of money, but Patrick...
Watson didn't just get paid, but if you look at his contract, right, he's right up there.
Any of those guys compared to Brock Purdy's salary.
It's crazy.
I love football. He just made the most of his opportunity. Incredible. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, Tom Brady is answering the question of whether or not the Jets have reached out to him. Insert eye roll here. And Alexander Mattison, did you see what happened with him? And the DMs that he was getting on social media, toxic. But he's speaking out about it. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Oh, and plus, Mike Francesa. You do not want to miss Mike Francesa. It might be funnier than Mike Tomlin.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
Nobody's picking the Colts to win the Super Bowl, so let's just go learn, right?
Well, this is always going to happen. Jim Irsay's calling all the shots there. And the honky-tonk man didn't draft this kid where they drafted this kid to have him look great in practice and look awesome running the scout team. You know what I mean? But yeah, let's play this Minshew cat or whatever on Sunday. Like, no way.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
Based on on this show.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Tom, it seems to me that physically you can still play, that it's emotional and it's your body can do it, but your heart and your mind have had enough. Would that be accurate?
No, that's not accurate. I think there's a part of me that there's always going to be a part that wants to play and a part of me that, you know, feels like I can play. I think there's just a decision to know that it's the right time.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I laugh because I know it's coming. I've heard that so many times. I know it's coming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I got a few fun pieces of audio. We always try to finish up with some fun pieces of audio on the Hump Show. By the way, before I get to that, I just want to make sure I pass along this tweet that I got from Nick. Nick writes to me at A-Law Radio, TJ Watt scored the first touchdown of the Brown-Steelers playoff game in 2020. I'm 95% sure of it. You keep saying it's his first touchdown. Nick, thank you. I should have made the distinction. Regular season and playoffs are always separate. Sorry, the stats are always kept separate. And when they're not, that's always indicated. So I apologize for not making that distinction. I was doing regular season stuff. So thank you for pointing that out. Thank you for finding me on Twitter and letting me know. Yes, TJ did have a touchdown in the playoffs going back to, well, it was 20. I don't remember what game it was, but I'll go with Nick then. So I did confirm it. So I apologize for that, for making it seem like I was uninformed and just wrong, which does happen sometimes, the wrong part, for sure. You can find us always on Twitter or Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The reason we bring up Tom Brady, well, just because every time a quarterback gets hurt this year, you're going to hear other people bring up Tom Brady. Obviously familiar with the AFC East, but I can't even fathom him playing for the Jets. Wouldn't that be a personal affront to Bob Kraft as owner of the Patriots? Or does that not matter? Is all fair in love and football? It's one thing to go finish your career with another team and win a Super Bowl, like he did with the Bucks. But to go to the Jets? The Jets? Also, would the Jets finally end their losing skid against the Patriots? If that was the case? Anyway, Tom Brady, Jim Gray, his buddy on the Let's Go podcast. The question was asked whether or not the Jets have reached out since Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
Next question.
Asked and answered?
You already know.
That's not a yes. It's not a no, but it's a knock it off.
We don't have time for that.
It's a knock it off, essentially. My goodness. I really am looking forward to him as an analyst if we get the Let's Go Tom Brady and not the press conference mic'd up Tom Brady, right? He had Deion Sanders on his show, of course, because everyone wants a piece of Deion Sanders. If you missed it, we talked about the culture in Boulder with Deion Sanders and the circus that's come to town with the Buffaloes. Great conversation with Brian Howell, who joined us from Boulder. Let's see, top of our second hour. That'll be part of our podcast. You can find the link on both Twitter and Facebook right after the show is done. And yeah, we were talking about Deion in the spotlight and what's changed for Colorado. But now they're back-to-back ranked, actually top 10 opponents in the Pac-12. So we'll see whether or not the Buffaloes are ready for the big time. But as part of Tom Brady's podcast, he was talking about how he was able to build this team by going through the transfer portal to recruit Buffaloes.
You can't put a dumb receiver out there with Tom Brady. You can't do it. You can't put a dumb quarterback out there with Hugh Fitz because it just don't work. It don't click. And Shador, we recruit differently because of where he is, intelligence-wise, intellectual. I mean, just understanding the game. You can't throw a rookie. a freshman receiver out there with Shador. You can't throw a guy who's not a study guy, who don't understand coverages and know where to sit and understand defense. If you can't do that with him, so it affects the way we recruit. So that's why we have to go in the portal to get older kids, because what he's going to say, get out. I mean, he's going to look right at them right after this play in 707, get out, give me him, let's go. I mean, that's the way he runs it at practice. So it changes the whole perspective of recruiting as well.
Interesting stuff from Let's Go with Tom Brady. You can hear Tom in the background. Deion describing how they go through the transfer portal and essentially picking players that are veterans who could be on the field with Shador. Really interesting. And of course, by now you've heard, if you've listened to our updates with Marco, Deion also defending Henry Blackburn, the Colorado State safety who delivered the nasty hit on Travis Hunter and then received death threats, both him and his family, all his personal information posted on the field. So that was Deion talking about the situation in college. Have you also heard about Alexander Mattison, the Vikings running back, and how he was receiving nasty DMs? Again, not surprising. The common denominator is, in fact, social media, because when there is little accountability and people can remain relatively anonymous, what they care about is, well, they're not concerned at all about what they say or coming back to them, right? What they care about is just expressing themselves, however that happens to be. And so Alexander Mattison was receiving a bunch of racist direct messages after the loss. The Vikings fell to 0-2 this weekend, and he's decided to go public with that.
A lot of love and support. You know, I really do appreciate it. On behalf of me and my family, just the support's tremendous, and it's amazing to see a lot of people just showing love and support through a time like that. You know, it's something that no one deserves to go through, and I just want to make sure I bring that to light to, you know, for those who might be sitting back and dealing with stuff. You know, I'm advocating for those people because I know it goes on a lot more. This isn't the first instance. This probably won't be the last, sadly, but definitely just letting everyone know that, you know, this goes on. This is something that we have to deal with. This is something that needs to stop and something that people shouldn't be dealing with.
So he's shown the DMs publicly, and they're full of racist language and also suggestions that he kill himself.
It was challenging, especially, you know, It was a moment, you know, sitting on that plane. You know, I was debriefing, talking with my guy CJ Ham, and we were just talking and, you know, talking about the game, of course, because it's a frustrating loss that you're dealing with. And then, you know, dealing with stuff like that in a moment where you're down, you know, kick me while I'm down. It was one of those situations where, you know, I realized that I've been able to find my voice over the past few years with a lot of different issues and a lot of different things going through my own mental health journey. Understanding that there are a lot of people out there that either are dealing with worse or dealing with something similar that may not have the voice, have found their voice yet. So to be able to do that was really the main reason, to make sure that everyone understands as well. There's a lot of fantasy football people out there, and they think that it's, you know, it's all fun and games. And, you know, we have families. We have people that love us. We have people that we're doing this for. It's not a fantasy. This is real life. So just wanted to make sure I emphasize that.
I appreciate that from Alexander Mattison, because very often people confuse fantasy with real football, and these are real people in real life. Also, I'm a terrible host. I didn't get to the funny stuff. I swear I will do it on tonight's edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Summer may be over, but the beach is open. Whether you're a longtime Bachelor fan or never seen a single show, this season of Bachelor in Paradise is for you. The premise of the show is pretty straightforward. You've got 20 beautiful singles living on a beach with one goal: to find love. There's sure to be romance, laughter, and complete chaos. Love triangles will form, so will love squares, and even love hexagons. 'Cause life's a beach, and then you cry, and cry some more. Yes, this season is going to be bananas. But after 8 years of successfully uniting soulmates in marriage and kids, there is still magic in paradise. So only one question remains: who will find love next? Bachelor in Paradise premieres Thursday, September 28th, 9/8 Central on ABC and stream on Hulu.